All the deacons of the Archdiocese are meeting in Seattle for the weekend to be together and have a retreat. So Deacon Dale's not with us this weekend, but we pray for all the deacons. Friends, the setting for today's gospel is in Judea, in a city known as Perea. We are told that the Pharisees approach Jesus to test him in the sense that they were hoping to trap him because they don't like him. They were going to try to pit him against Moses, who they claim to be their teacher. They question him about divorce of Herod the Great, who had not too long, just a couple months before this, beheaded John the Baptizer for speaking out against his unlawful and adulterous relationship with Herodias. You'll find that in Mark chapter 6, 17 through 29. The Pharisees were hoping Jesus would likewise anger Herod with his reply and end up suffering the same fate as his cousin, John the Baptist. Meaning the Pharisees were hoping Herod's son would have his head cut off also. Jesus asked the Pharisees what Moses taught them. Pharisees, they did respond correctly to Jesus, saying, referred to Deuteronomy, and it's chapter 24, 1 through 4, if you want to go and read exactly what it says. But there it says, a man can write a decree of divorce to his wife under certain grievous conditions. Now, of course, the Pharisees, as was typical of them, they began to distort those conditions and began to have silly ones. She's fat. She's old. She can't cook anymore. You see, those are not grievous. Those are kind of funny, but they're not grievous. Well, I'm not married, so I maybe. But I think it's kind of funny. But you see what they were doing, and they made it very easy then for a man to write a decree of divorce. Jesus counters their argument by reminding them that Moses granted the dispensation because of the hardness of their hearts. They were stubborn and bullheaded. The men, not the women, the men. And saying, I approve of this, really, or was he encouraging divorce? Moses merely acknowledged that it was a fact of their human heart and the stubbornness of the time. The conditions set forth for Moses were meant actually to curtail men's unbridled freedom and to help curtail the practice of divorce, which was mingled with. The Israelites were not supposed to do this, but all the neighbors were doing it. Yeah? Moses also wanted to make sure the men were going to provide for the women who they were going to, as the scriptures say, dismiss. So, you will write a decree of divorce and you will provide for them. I'm sure that went over very well. My friends, remember, Jesus has come to fulfill the Mosaic law. So Jesus moves to a higher level than Moses ever dreamed of. Now, they didn't try. Jesus proposes an ideal for marriage, or an idea for marriage, that was part of God's plan from the very beginning. He refers to Genesis, which we heard, that was our first, come together for the rest of their life. Jesus suggests that matrimony is intended to bring a fulfillment of a union between the sexes that God fashioned into them from the very beginning of creation. You see, this is not just a civil thing. This is and very challenging to even the very best of humankind. But it is also an invitation to both a husband and a wife to manifest their lives in the very way that the love of God has manifested himself for his people, in the way that Jesus has shown love for his church. Jesus' vision of marriage is, so it seems, very difficult, especially in these days, to achieve. As a pastor and a priest, I know many wonderful couples who have tried marriage and they have failed for problems and has tried to help people involved in difficult marriages by making marriage tribunals available. And those tribunals have the power to grant annulments. So it's important for me to take stood by our own Catholic Christians, but also from people outside of the church. To understand what an annulment is, we need to understand what a Christian marriage is. Christian marriage is it's a bond or a contract, but we would call it a covenant that is irrevocable. It is amongst three people. Three people? Crazy priest, what are you talking about? Three people. A man, a woman, and God. I'm not talking about the people who go to Vegas. I'm talking about those who come into this house and stand before his altar and invoke his name. So they are brought, God is brought into that covenant with them. The couple vows fidelity for life, and God blesses them, what we know is with a sacrament. For such a marriage, there must be the capacity to enter into it with full knowledge, and it must be missing in at least one of the parties, certainly not God, so it means the man or woman. The Christian marriage may be annulled. What are some possible reasons? Immaturity at the time of the wedding of one or both, emotional difficulties or psychological problems at the time of the wedding, substance addiction at the time of the wedding. When we counsel couples that are going to be married, we warn them, do not get drunk on Friday night and then come in here with a hangover on Saturday, because that is a reason for the marriage not to happen on that day, because that is influencing them. So also abuse at the time and lack of free will, or if one of them, the man or woman, are forced into it for some reason. These would be grounds for the annulment. An annulment means at least one party of the marriage, the vow that was professed, they were incapable of entering into it. They could not, or they lied about it. It doesn't mean that there was no marriage or that the children are illegitimate. Since, if you don't know this, the minister of the church is authorized by the state to officiate at weddings. So every church wedding is a legal civil marriage, and the children are then. In declaring an annulment, the church understands that at the time of the wedding, the necessary preconditions for forming the covenant was not present. In the absence of such a binding covenant, then, and their inability to really enter into it, the union can be dissolved. And the parties are then free to separate and go their ways. And then they are free then to enter into the sacrament of matrimony properly with another one, with another person. I can talk for 5 hours on this, probably for a week, but I wanted to bring some understanding about what an annulment is and what it is not. My friends, in the Catholic Church, the sacrament of matrimony, marriage, is a unique relationship. It is a vocation, it is a sacrament, and marriage in the church becomes a beacon of light and hope to the world, because we live in a world where people are not committed anymore. We're in a world that's filled with infidelity, a world of broken. Then becomes a symbol of what is possible with God's grace, fidelity. Marriage is deeply inscribed by God in the very nature of human beings. I want to be very clear about what I'm about to say. Marriage, as we heard from Genesis, and there are two accounts. Remember, there are two creation accounts. You know this, right? In Genesis. So there are two accounts of marriage. The first one, Genesis 1, 26 to 28, marriage, that unity, is the means of parole. Genesis 2, 18 through 24, marriage is for human companionship and unity. Marriage, then, is deeply inscribed by God in the nature of the human person. Nothing can replace it, and nothing can imitate it. Nothing. It is unique. It is the only human relationship that is designed and intended by God, a vocation, a sacrament. And thus, marriage is superior to all other relationships. Friends, pastor to people, boss to employee, best friend to best friend, whatever you want to call it. Marriage is unique, and it is a vocation. It is superior to all the other human. The marriage sacrament, the man and woman make a vow to remain faithful to them and them alone. I certainly don't say that to my best friends, but I do say it to Jesus, because for me, being the sacrament of ordination is the equivalent to the sacrament of matrimony for all of you. Marriage, then, by Scripture, is likened to God and his fidelity to Israel, is likened to Jesus and his fidelity to the church. And this is why I put forth that marriage is unique. There is no other type of relationship, and there is no one, no state, no government that can propose anything else besides what man and woman do. That is what I mean when it cannot be imitated by other things. And it is a vocation. And my friends, it becomes a beacon of hope to a world when they see a couple remain faithful to each other and in love and loving, giving to each other and creating life itself. In this, marriage is unique. It is a sacrament, and it becomes a beacon of hope for all of us. Amen.